Listen to Black Book Talk at KBOO FM every first Thursday from 11:30 till noon. Co-hosts OB Hill, Patricia Welch, and Emma Jackson Ford discuss African American authors and books. That's Black Book Talk every first Thursday from 11:30 till noon on KBOO FM.
Norman Solomon saying that you're listening to non-commercial, listener-sponsored, volunteer-driven community radio, KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM.
Hi, it's Al Franken telling you to listen to KBOO, KBOO, community radio, 90.7 here in Portland.
Hi, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and this is Life Stamps, stories from here and there. I'm Joseph.
I am Tyson.
Join us every other Thursday at 10 a.m. as we discuss exciting destinations around the world. They're not always from personal experience, but never without cultural awareness and a passion for travel.
Welcome this week to Life Stamps, stories from there, here and there.
Got a or stories from there and here.
There and here. And I got kind of a little bit of an obnoxious guest today, but he's here.
Who could that be?
I think the official title, what's your name? Joseph?
Yes.
It's just Joseph, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yes to Joseph mm-hmm. is here to talk to us about Tasmania and wildlife and things that are wild about Tasmania.
Yeah, hello everyone. Super excited to talk about Tasmania. Let's dive in.
So how many species are on the island of Tasmania?
A lot, but first I want to like talk about just sort of like basics, like, you know, where is Tasmania and everything. Kind of clear up like any misconceptions of you know, where it might be on the map, how big it is.
Yeah, how big is it?
And all of that. So Tasmania is a state,
right,
of Australia. It's an island state, so the whole of Tasmania is an island, and it's about 150 miles off the Australian mainland.
Okay.
So this is interesting. It covers an area of about 27,000 square miles.
Okay.
For context, Ireland, the whole island of Ireland,
yep,
is 32,000 square miles.
Okay,
so
they're
roughly
smaller than Ireland.
A little smaller than Ireland, roughly the same size. For more context, the state of Oregon is 96,000 square miles.
Now, when we're talking about Ireland, it's only Ireland that's the island, because there's also Northern Ireland, which is mainland UK, I think.
No, I'm talking about the island, not the country, not the Republic of Ireland. I'm talking about the entire island.
Right.
So the entire island is 32,000 square miles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not just the Republic or Northern Ireland, like all of that together.
Right.
Yeah, and so Tasmania, it's about a third of the size of Oregon. It's roughly the same size of Ireland. But population-wise, only 571,000 people inhabit Tasmania.
Oh, okay.
So compare that to Ireland. Ireland is 7.1 million people.
Right.
So so think about like taking a third of Oregon.
Right.
And Oregon's 4.2 million people. So almost doubling Oregon's population.
If Tasmania
in a third of Oregon, almost doubling Oregon's population is Ireland. Right. But Tasmania would be like taking only the city of Portland and spreading it out over a third.
Over the size of
just the city, not the metro. Right. Or the great country of Ireland, yeah. So that's kind of like to some context, like Tasmania, my point being Tasmania is very sparsely populated.
Do they need more people there?
I don't think they need more people because it's Tasmania, because it's very sparsely populated, it's very much a wildlife sanctuary.
Okay.
Lots of like parks, wildlife parks, national parks. I mean, right. Pretty much the whole entire island. There's 19 national parks in Tasmania.
Okay.
And like on top of that,
there's, so they need park rangers.
Yeah, they need park rangers.
So exactly. So you know, I mean, Tasmania, if you're listening, Joseph here would love to become one of the newest park rangers for your republic.
Yep, sign me up.
Yep.
I'll come.
Yep, yep. You know, pack right up. And now an expert in animals.
As long as you have coffee.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's kind of a deal breaker.
Yeah. Which I'm sure they have some kind of caffeinated drink down there.
Right. What's the climate like then?
The climate in Tasmania?
Yeah.
So it's going to be like very forested, right?
Okay.
It's southeast off the coast of Australia, so it's going to be even, you know, farther sort of like south. So I think it's a temperate climate with four distinct seasons.
Okay.
So like December through February, which is the summertime, the average temperature can reach about 23 degrees Celsius. So
that's probably about 75.
Yeah, give or take 75 to 80 degrees. Okay. So yeah, it can reach the high 30s.
Right.
So sorry, I didn't say it can reach 23. I meant to say the average temperature is 23.
Well, that's what
it can reach, the high 30s. Yeah. Right. So,
but on a heat wave, yeah, it could be 30 Celsius, which in turn could be actually like 90 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, I think 38 is like 100 or something.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah.
Did you know if you double it and you add 32 Celsius to Fahrenheit? Is kind of the equation, but it's really hard for me to go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're like, hey, what's 88 degrees in Celsius? Then I'm like, I don't know. I don't go backwards. I only go forward.
88 degrees in Celsius is like almost boiling point.
Well, yeah. Well, 88 in Celsius would be...
It's like 190 degrees or something.
Yeah. Hotter than that. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. About 190 Fahrenheit.
So in the wintertime, which is June to August, you can find snow on some of the high peaks, and it's going to be crisp and cooler.
So sure. What's the capital?
So the capital of Tasmania is what was it called? I had it pulled up for a second. The capital of Tasmania is Hobart.
Hobart.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say Harbone. I'm like, that doesn't sound correct. Hobart, which is located, I'm going to talk a little bit about...
I thought it would be like Spinnersburg.
No.
You know, for the Tasmanian devil as he spins.
Yeah.
So this is his town.
Yeah, I actually want to get into the Tasmanian devil later on, but that's an interesting conception, right? Because we've grown up watching the Tasmanian devil.
Right.
On TV, on Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how cartoon depictions don't actually reflect what, you know, certain creatures really look like.
Right.
So,
right.
But Hobart's a small city. It's, it has about 252,000 people. It's a population, best explored on foot. Sure. It's a fairly compact city.
Okay.
There's going to be another thing you're going to find in Tasmania. There's not a lot of like public transit services throughout the island.
So
like,
you're gonna have to rent a car and go explore the whole place,
right? And that's so that's sort of the recommended is to rent a car to drive around. Of course, like you can, and you know, if you're within a city, they're gonna have some, you know, like or municipal transit services, but and maybe between towns, but not necessarily to, like to the, you know, wilderness, to the parks and stuff like that. So definitely recommend getting a car.
But Hobart then, is your main airport to get there, right?
Yeah. So you'd fly into Hobart, probably from Melbourne or Sydney. Okay. So you fly into mainland Australia first and then catch a short flight over to Hobart.
Right.
Get a car. You can also take a ferry from mainland Australia. So if you prefer more, I don't know, scenic, slow, less carbon intensive way of travel,
right?
Then you know, do a ferry.
Yeah, but I mean, that would probably only make sense if you're like really far south, I presume, unless you want to be on a whole cruise just to get there.
Right. Yeah, so you would probably, I mean, it really depends on if your destination is to go specifically to Tasmania, then just, yeah, you just do the flight. You just fly into Melbourne or Sydney and then catch a connecting flight into Hobart. And then another thing too, you're probably going to go to Tasmania to go to some of the parks. So you'll want to think about which parks you want to visit, and you'll have to buy a pass, a parks pass. So similar to...
Is the pass good for all the parks?
So there's different tiers. So there's a Tasmanian like national parks website that's like specific to Tasmania. And so then the tickets that you buy on there are going to be, or the passes that you buy on there are I think specific to Tasmania, and you can do a pass that will like that can cover multiple places.
Right.
So for example, if you're doing a backpacking trip, you can get a pass for $46 Australian for 2 months.
Oh, okay.
And then that kind of covers a lot of different places. If you just need a day pass, for one person, that's $23.25. So it's sort of like the cheapest option.
Right.
And then if you want to get, you can also get passes for specific parks that are valid for 1 year.
Okay.
So for example, you want to go to, let's say, that one Mount Field is a popular park to go to.
Okay.
That's $50.70. Actually, all the tickets are going to be $50.70. That's specific. That's a 1 year pass specific to a park. So as a tourist,
right,
you probably would be more interested in like the
multi park pass.
Yeah. So like the backpacker pass, which is for 2 months. You can get, if you're driving a vehicle, then that's more expensive. So if you get the 2 month vehicle pass, it's gonna be $93. So that's sort of like the more expensive option
to drive the actually drive the vehicle to the park.
Yeah, so that's if you're taking like the vehicle into the
park. I mean, how else do you get there?
Well, I'm, you know,
I mean, I guess you can rent bicycles and
you could know, use a motor so
and maybe there's like guest houses or
it's
lodging or so whatever the, in your parks.
The non-vehicle passes apply if you're using a motorbike, a bicycle, public bus, or boat.
Okay.
So if there is a place that has like a public bus that goes there, and if you're doing a backpacking trip and you're going to be like, you know, maybe hiking a lot,
right?
Or if you rent a motorbike, for example,
right?
Then you don't need to use the vehicle pass. So right. The vehicle pass is like probably a good option if you have a group of people.
Yeah.
You know, if you have like two or three people that you're traveling with, then it's a good, like a more affordable option.
Tasmania, like the stories I've heard about, like mainland Australia, really lack in like gas stations.
Does Tasmania lack in gas stations?
Yeah,
I didn't look that up
because I've often heard the story like when people drive in Australia, they have to just have like extra, you know, big things of gasoline in their car because there's really long stretches and there's no gas stations.
I would say that would make sense just because of how sparsely populated it is.
Right.
You're not going to find a lot of towns that are going to have gas stations. I mean, I would probably like equivalate it to like, you know, the rural stretches that you drive in the US where it's like not much except like forest or, you know, like plains or something. And like the next town is, you know, miles and miles and miles away.
Right.
Yeah, it's like when you drive to the coast, and if you're like kind of low on gas, you should probably fill up before you even like, you know, go through the mountain pass or something. So
right, right.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, oh, I see. I mean, Tasmania has a small human population, like I said, so it makes it a great place for exploring the wild, the wilderness, and all the flora and fauna there. And someone's poking me, Harvey. Harvey, hey, what's up?
Oh, Harvey.
Yeah, Harvey. Harvey's up.
Harvey just woke up from a nap.
Yeah, I think he has something. Do you have something to say about Tasmania, Harvey?
I have something to say about Tasmanian wildlife. Yes, all right. I do.
Cool.
Ahem. Tasmania, an island state located south of mainland Australia, is renowned for its diverse and unique wildlife. Due to its geographical isolation, Tasmania has developed a distinct fauna that includes many endemic species found nowhere else in the world. Here are some examples of the wildlife you can find in Tasmania. For marsupials, we have the Tasmanian devil, the largest carnivorous marsupial in the world, and Tasmania's official emblem. Then there's the quoll, or the Tasmanian native cat, a carnivorous marsupial. Along with that, we have the eastern quoll, which is found only in Tasmania. And here's a fun one to say, wallabies. There are several species, including the red-necked wallaby, maybe topping wallabies as a fun animal name, the Padamelons, which are small to medium-sized wallabies. Lastly, for the marsupials, here are the Bettongs, small, rat-kangaroo-like marsupials. Moving on to birds. Of course, there are many varieties of birds in Tasmania, but these are the more unique species to the island. Firstly, there is the Tasmanian native hen, a flightless bird endemic to Tasmania. Then we have the wedge-tailed eagle, one of Australia's largest birds of prey. Next up is the orange-bellied parrot, critically endangered, found in coastal areas. And wrapping it up for the birds is the Tasmanian thornbill, a small songbird. Now, let's get reptilian. These are some of the reptiles and amphibians you can expect to see on your Tasmanian trek. There's Tasmanian tiger snake, a venomous snake, found in sunny spots but typically not aggressive. There's also the copperhead snake. It's venomous and found throughout Tasmania. And for our amphibian friends, we have the green tree frog. Found in eastern Tasmania, these frogs can reach up to 4 inches in length. Let's look toward the sea, shall we? Now, you might think penguins only exist in Antarctica, but that's not entirely true. While your mind may conjure up images of snowy landscapes and tuxedoed two-footers slipping on their bellies, there are also penguins in warmer locales, such as the little penguin, also known as fairy penguins. These are the smallest species of penguin. Plan your visit between October and March for the best chance to see these little guys. For other marine life, there are seals and sea lions, such as Australian fur seals, and whales. Various species migrate through Tasmanian waters. Tasmania's wildlife is protected and conserved through various national parks, wildlife sanctuaries, and conservation efforts. Some popular places to experience Tasmania's wildlife include 1. Cradle Mountain National Park, 2. Tasman National Park, 3. Bonorong Wildlife Sanctuary, 4. Tasmanian Devil Unzu. Would you like any more information?
That'd be great, Harvey. What else you got?
Yeah, I'd love to hear more, Harvey. That was really interesting.
Too bad. I haven't had my morning nap yet. I shall go to sleep now. Good day, now I'm going to count some sheep. Yawn.
Well, all right then, Harvey. If you feel that way, we'll talk to you later.
Harvey does what Harvey wants to do, I guess. Okay.
Well, so
don't lead us on next time, Harvey.
So that was an interesting rundown. What's different about these different parks?
Before I go into the different parks, which, definitely interesting places to see. I want to talk a little bit about the Tasmanian devil, Okay. As interesting and information filled as Harvey's little overview of the wildlife in Tasmania, he didn't really talk about the cultural importance of the Tasmanian devil.
Okay.
To Tasmania. So it's interesting because the Tasmanian devil was actually, it used to be present across all of mainland Australia.
Okay.
But it became extinct there around 3,500 years ago. And so now it's only found on Tasmania.
Strange.
Yeah. So it's definitely, you know, like, I feel like the devil is people call it the devil for short, which is right. Also interesting because it's a cute little cat looking creature,
or right.
Is it a cat? I don't know. It's a marsupial, right? So it's definitely so it's used as an emblem on the Tasmanian National Parks and Wildlife Service, and it's like been used in different logos, like the Australian Rules football team that played in the Victorian Football League was known as the Devils. The Hobart Devils were part of the National Basketball League. And the Tasmanian Devil has also appeared on several commemorative coins in Australia. And there's a brewery in Tasmania that sells a ginger beer with the Tasmanian Devil on the label. So, and in 2015, it was chosen as Tasmania's state emblem. So the state emblem of Tasmania has the devil on it.
Right.
So it's sort of like a definitely like a popular animal.
If one was to make deviled eggs in Tasmania, would you just call them eggs? Would you call them Tasman eggs because they're already deviled?
Because they're already deviled.
Yeah.
Hmm. What is that? Is a devil making them?
What kind of devil?
The Tasmanian devil.
Right.
Are they making the eggs?
Which is just a regular Tasmanian citizen, from the way I understand it. But what I found interesting about what you're telling me is like, how did they get there? How did they make the long trip from mainland Australia, said, hey, we ain't going to hang out here no more. Now let's just go to this island over here and let's start hanging out here.
You know, that's a really good question. And I don't know if I could answer that question, but it's only 150 miles, give or take, from mainland Australia. So, I mean, theoretically...
Can you swim 150 miles?
Probably not.
Right. See, it's not as easy as you make it sound.
I guess so. I don't know. I mean, that's a really good question. But, you know...
These creatures don't just walk on water, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's some way they're able to get out there. But I don't... Maybe it's... Maybe they had a boat or something, a Tasmanian devil boat.
Right, like, you know, in Australia they have Uber ships.
Yeah, so, or maybe back in the day they used to make little cyclone or, you know, like little hurricanes, and they would kind of just spin across the water.
They would literally ride a wave.
Yeah, yeah, they would just like make a little, you know,
riding
like,
a whirlpool.
They do a
wave.
Tornado and then it turn into a little cyclone, and then, you know,
like, oh, here's land again. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Exactly. Yeah. Kind of like, you know, I mean, I don't know why in Looney Tunes they make it all like, you know, like why is the Tasmanian devil like that? Like, I think it's because of the name, maybe. Maybe the name makes the Tasmanian devil more like crazy because it's called a devil. And so they're like, oh, this is going to be like the crazy character that kind of spins around and destroys everything in its path.
I don't know, because there's also the New Jersey devil. And I feel like that also is portrayed as like...
Is that an animal, though?
Like a... I think it's folklore.
Ah.
But I think it's supposed to be this creature in New Jersey that makes tornadoes.
Mm. Well, anyway. So the Tasmanian devils are super popular with tourists, obviously, because we have that kind of in popular culture.
Right.
And I think that the Tasmanian Tourism Board did some research and found that the Tasmanian devil was the only thing that most people in other countries knew about Tasmania.
Right.
Which I feel like tracks with my own experience. Like, you know, like first I knew about the Tasmanian devil, and then I learned that there's a place called Tasmania, and then I learned that there's an animal that's called the Tasmanian devil that the cartoon is based off of.
Right.
And that's sort of like been throughout my whole life, my knowledge of Tasmania. And I think a lot of people have a similar kind of connection with, you know, or like that's like, you know, what they know about Tasmania.
I thought it was a third generation prison.
You thought it was a third generation prison?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Like Australia was supposedly founded by convicts that they no longer wanted in the UK,
right,
or whatever. And then they became this like thriving country that wasn't built on just chaos with a bunch of criminals or whatever. They created their own government and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then they did get criminals still. And then they're like, all right, well, we want to be a normal country now. So here's Tasmania. And now we're going to slip you guys there to this rock south of us.
So Australia was the penal colony for the UK, and then Tasmania became the penal colony for Australia.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, I just thought it was like a third generation prison.
I think it was mainly for the UK also a penal colony for...
Oh, Tasmania.
Actually, I didn't really... I know Australia for sure. I don't remember about Tasmania.
Has Tasmania always been a part of Australia?
That's a really good question. I don't know exactly like the history of how like Tasmania became, so the island was initially part of the colony of New South Wales, so under British rule.
Okay, so it was already part of the colony from the original colonialization, or whatever you want to call it, when the UK made their way there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and basically approximately 80,000 convicts were sent to Van Diemen's Land before this, however it became it. So it became a separate colony. So it was a colony of New South Wales. It became a separate colony under the name of Van Diemen's Land, and named after Anthony Van Diemen in 1825. And
not related to the Tasmanian Devil.
Not related to the Tasmanian Devil. No, spelled slightly differently. Also, D-I-E-M-E-N.
Okay.
But pronounced similarly. Okay. Ironically, isn't that interesting?
I'm really trying to understand is how could a place that's so cold be so fiery and so hot?
Yeah. Well, it's hot in the summertime.
Right.
Anyway, I want to go back to like so the Tasmanian Devil being important to popular culture, a Tasmanian culture, Tasmanian tourism, because they did that research and they're like, oh, it looks like Tasmania, the Tasmanian Devil is mostly associated, like that's what people associate with Tasmania. So they use that as a tourism, as like a draw to get tourism.
Right.
So they have like...
Are they lying? Are they claiming that the Tasmanian Devil spins like a tornado just so they can get people to come?
No, but... they made a deal with Warner Brothers to use and like sell like the Tasmanian Devil branded merch.
Oh, okay.
And to use like the Taz for the Tasmanian Devil.
Right.
To use him as like a tourism draw.
Right.
So
are there big animals on the island? Because I know Harvey was talking about like reptiles and marsupials and then the birds, but it didn't seem like he was necessarily talking about like larger mammals.
Yeah, there's not really anything like super big.
Okay, so it's all just kind of like, I don't know what, like skunk size marsupial kind of creatures?
Yeah.
Essentially like that, about the size of your like dog at home?
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
Is like everything?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Do any of them like hang out together, like in packs?
Pack animals in Tasmania. Well, let me tell you about that. The only Tasmanian animals that hang out in packs are the little penguins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, like Tasmanian devils, are they saying that those are solitary animals?
Right.
They may share like a hunting range with it, like the same area as other devils, so they might share sort of like their quote-unquote territory,
right?
But they're not organized.
I see.
Yeah. So you won't see Tasmanian devils like forming unions or, you know, coming together.
Tasmanian worker union of we are the devils.
Right.
What do we want?
Right.
Solidarity now.
Right.
The winds of change are coming, brother. Let's start spinning.
Right. Spinning for a better future, right?
Spinning for a better future for, uh-huh. in the name of all devils.
Yeah.
But, okay, so that's cool. But they only walk on four legs, right?
Yeah. No, they're not like kangaroos.
Or like any type of primate, chimp, or anything that can walk on just two.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen a picture of a Tasmanian devil?
Kind of.
It kind of looks like a big cat, like a dog cat. It has a sort of like conical nose,
okay.
situation,
yeah.
like face. Like it's sort of like you put a, you know, like maybe like a cone, and then okay. it has like eyes and a mouth, and the nose is the tip of the cone.
And what do they eat?
What do Tasmanian devils eat?
Yeah.
I think that, well, they're carnivorous. So, right. Yeah, they eat like other animals and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have like hunting grounds.
But I mean, are they trying to pierce their prey with that big nose of theirs and claw it all up, or?
Yeah, so they'll eat, like a lot of times, like they're just scavengers. So they'll like find like other dead animals.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like
Fruit Loops.
They'll also hunt live prey. So they'll hunt like other small mammals and birds. They are known to eat wallabies, possums, wombats,
okay.
kangaroos, actually.
Okay.
Patamelons.
Where could I find food around here?
Follow
yeah. the nose.
Exactly.
It always knows.
The nose always knows. That's absolutely how it goes with the nose.
So they got like crazy, like dog-like scents, I guess.
What do you mean?
They could smell a tasty.
I'm sure their nose is
for a pretty long distance and be like, oh, I gotta go this way and go get this thing.
Yeah. I think I kind of exaggerated like the cone shapeness of their head.
Okay.
I mean, it's definitely like that, you know, a little bit, but you know, it's sort of like a rat. That I think that's the best way to think about it.
A rat with a Doberman pincher's head?
A rat that's black and is maybe a bit bigger than a cat.
Okay. Huh, kind of like a nutria.
Mm-hmm.
Which, first time I saw those when I moved to Oregon, I was not a fan.
Yeah, you're like, no, thank you.
Yeah, I was like, what? Giant rat-looking things? They're kind of a beaver, they're kind of a rat, and uh-huh. they're disgusting.
Yeah.
My opinion.
Yeah, so basically, there was like an 8-year legal case. Sorry. So the Tasmanian Tourism like board and like other like companies in Tasmania were using Tasmanian devils on their branding and stuff, but it was policed, and so then Warner Brothers was like, no, I don't like that, you're doing that. And so they there was a delegation from the Tasmanian government met with Warner Brothers. So they sent a delegation to be like, hey, can we maybe have a deal? Because, you know, you have this thing called the Tasmanian devil, and, you know, we also have the original animal here and a state called Tasmania. So right. maybe like we can use your stuff. And so the government of Tasmania struck a deal with the Warner Brothers, and basically they're paying an annual fee to Warner Brothers to use the Tasmanian
devil.
Why do
I feel like this was like would be just a really bad travel video? Like the Tasmanian devil's telling you all about his great land and like the other creatures that are on his island, and he's just hanging out talking to you, drinking a cup of tea.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Have you seen that ad for Oslo?
Oslo.
Yeah, the government of, I don't know, like maybe the like Oslo Tourism like board, or maybe like no. Norway, they made an
oh,
ad.
Oh, for Oslo.
Oslo.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
And it's like basically like the ad is like, it's like the perspective of a resident of Oslo.
Right.
And he's like complaining about the city the entire time. He's like, I don't know why people want to come here. It's like so easy to walk. Like I can walk from one end of the city to the other end.
Oh, okay. And so it's just all these things that you should love, but he's just trying to make it sound bad. So more tourists don't come there, but that's why people will come there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, he's like, why do people I don't understand. Like, it's so accessible. Everything's too accessible here. Like, right. There's no exclusivity. There's no, you know, is it even a real city?
Right. Yeah. So, kind of like one of those old California ads and stuff, you know? Yeah. And it's like, what do you dislike about California most? It's like, I'm always seeing the celebrities. And then it's like, shows Hollywood. And then it was the governor, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Uh-huh. And, you know, just these dumb things about like why you should come spend your money in California. But
yeah, kind of like that, where it's sort of like tongue in cheek, you know, like being like sarcastic about, or like self-deprecating, I guess. But yeah, so it would be funny. I was going to say it'd be funny if there was one, but with the Tasmanian devil, you know, talking about like, oh yeah, there's like so many mountains here, and it's just like, oh, the views, there's just too many views. Like,
yeah.
Give me a concrete jungle. I'm so tired of all the beautiful views.
Right. You know? Yeah, totally.
With a cup of tea, like you were saying.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or I was thinking more in like a Borat kind of way. If you've seen the movie Borat,
mm-hmm.
where he like talks smack about all the neighboring countries around him. Because I think in the movie he's from like Uzbekistan. And then so he's like, and up here we got Kazakhstan. These guys do this. And then down here, we've got the Turkmenistan people. And these guys, well, they're good, but don't invite them to parties. They're real lame ducks if you do that or whatever.
Right.
So I could just see the Tasmanian devil telling you about all the other creatures on the island. Mm-hmm. But, of course, he's the Tasmanian devil, so he's the best.
Ah, yeah, and being like, oh, and you can see, like, the tree frogs, you know,
yeah,
over here. They're like, they always like to hang out on trees. Like, okay, we get it. You like trees.
In the Eastern Corridor, we got Wallaby.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not that nice of a guy.
Right. Oh, Wallaby.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Wally.
But, so what does a wallaby look like?
A wallaby?
Yeah.
A wallaby looks like a wallaby.
That doesn't help me.
I know. It's interesting. I think marsupials are very, like, they're such interesting animals because they're only found in, you know, like Australia or that area of the world.
Right.
And it's just interesting because it's like a whole, class of animals that have a pouch. Like, that's kind of like what's
right.
What like makes them all similar is they have a pouch.
Right.
Isn't that like so interesting? So a wallaby is like, a wallaby looks like a kangaroo kind of.
Pouch brother from another mother.
Yeah. So it's kind of like kangaroo looking. Like, you know,
but like miniaturized,
yeah, and kind of has like cute little triangular ears like a cat kind of.
Well there's
Bennett's wallaby, which is one of Tasmania's most common native animals, and then there's just wallabies, so there's like different kinds of, well, so the Bennett's wallaby is gonna be like I don't know, really really fun.
What do you call a kangaroo from North Carolina? A Bonnaroo.
I don't get it.
It's a music festival. Or maybe that happens in one of the other Southeast states, but it's Bonnaroo Music Festival.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah.
That's what a kangaroo... Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I was thinking the one in Tasmania could just be called Little Roo.
Uh-huh.
Instead of wallaby.
Bennett's wallabies are sometimes called red-necked wallabies. Not redneck wallabies, red-necked wallabies.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think because they have a red neck.
I would assume so.
Naturally. Yeah.
That would be the difference in the DNA, I'm sure.
Right.
Right. I wanted to ask you a question going back to, like, you're talking about the backpacker pass, mm-hmm. and how that's like a two-month thing if one was to backpack and check out all the parks for 2 months. What are the precautions that, you know, hikers and backpackers take within Tasmania for these creatures? Do they carry spray? Do you just do something to your campsite so they won't like pick at your trash and mess with your bedding?
I would say like all the usual precautions you would take. So just, you know, like make sure you pack everything up so
right.
that, you know, not as to attract animals, don't feed the wildlife, and yeah, just like make sure, you know, like there, I think there's some, I think also like you're in Tasmania, they have some like venomous snakes,
right,
to be aware of. Then those typically, I mean, they're not aggressive, but it's like, you know, if you see one, you should, you know, make sure you, you know, don't make it upset or anything.
Right. Don't step on it for fun.
Don't step on it for fun, especially.
Yeah.
But it's not like if you see it, it's going to like, you know, it's like, I mean, it's like they don't want to be seen. They don't want to, they don't want to interact with humans. And so it's like, you know, you stay out of its way. It'll stay out of your way kind of thing.
How many of these marsupials are carnivorous?
I don't really know the answer to that one, but I mean, you would have like the Tasmanian devil, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the
wallaby,
the quoll,
the
Tasmanian native cat that Mr. Harvey was talking about.
Right.
So those are also carnivorous. I don't know if the wallaby is carnivorous, but I don't think it is. And same with like the pademelons, which are just like small wallabies.
Yeah.
And then there's the betongs, which are like kangaroo, rat kangaroo like marsupials.
Right.
So I feel like a lot of these marsupials are just different sizes of kangaroos, you know?
Yeah,
the big ones just like get smaller and smaller.
Which is why I asked you, what do you call the one from North Carolina?
Yeah, Bonnaroo, right? Yeah. Ha, huh, I answered it correctly, right?
Yeah,
So I think, you know, there's like the quoll, the eastern quoll, the Tasmanian devil, those are going to be carnivorous. And then there's the...
It's Tennessee, I think. It's the festival that's in Tennessee. Bonnaroo Music Festival.
Oh, it's not in South Carolina?
Not in...
Or North Carolina.
No, I think it's in Tennessee.
Mm.
But I was close.
Mm. I see. There's also wombats.
What is a wombat?
Well, it's not a bat.
There's a band I like called the Wombats.
A wombat is basically, my main takeaway from like wildlife in Tasmania is that everything is like kind of fluffy and small and round.
Right. So everything's like a giant hamster.
Yeah. Kind of like that, yeah.
But some of them eat you, or some of them are trying to eat meat, and some of them are trying to eat, you know, a plant-based diet.
Yeah, so wombats are about 40 inches long, so about a meter long.
Okay.
About 3-ish feet. And they have small stubby tails, and they basically just like look like a little round poofy thing, just, you know, hanging out.
Okay.
They walk on four legs. I don't know. I'm looking at this picture and it's like, take a bear and then make it really small and then give the face a little bit like a cat-like face, but with small ears. So take like the cat's triangular ears and just make them like small.
Right, okay.
And then maybe make its facial expression always like innocent, like super innocent.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best way I can describe a wombat.
Interesting.
But they look cute and cuddly, but they tend to have a short temper and can become very aggressive if they feel threatened. So don't threaten a wombat.
So it's like a gremlin.
Yeah. It's like, oh, look at it. It's so cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
next thing you know, it's like, you know, when your back is turned, it's like, you know, chawing off the heads of some things and getting more and more evil by the days.
Okay. I wasn't going to take it there, but you know, you took it there.
Well, I've seen gremlins.
Yeah, yeah, but this is not a wombat. I don't know if that's the best way to describe a wombat.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, if you're tuning in right now, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, where life stamps stories from here and there. And I'm Joseph, and
I am Tyson,
and he's Tyson.
And we're talking about animals in Tasmania.
Mm-hmm.
So my question for you, Joseph. out of all these creatures that you've talked to me thus far, which animal do you relate to the most?
Not really where I thought this episode would go, but you know, I'll play along.
Yeah, sure. But you've got to have a favorite. You're like, oh man, in another life, I'm totally the Tasmanian devil. Or in another life, I'm totally the penguin. I mean, I'm just trying to understand.
Oh, this is interesting. Penguin, that would be fun. Also be fun to be a bird. But I think specific, like a very Australian, like, you know, Tasmanian like animal, I think I'd want to be a wallaby.
You want to be a wallaby?
Yeah.
Just the regular guy that just kind of hangs out and is like wallabying around.
Yeah. They just like look kind of curious and, you know, they're kind of hopping around and, you know, and then, you know, like I could be named something fun like Wally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we only have a 12-ish minutes left. So I want to talk about some of the parks.
Okay.
Two in particular.
What makes them all unique?
Because they're in different parts of the state, of the island.
Oh, but so, not because of the fauna or the animals?
Well, I think, like, you know, migration. The animals live in different parts. Like, you know, like the frog, for example, lives on the eastern side, and the same with the penguins. You can only find them in a specific spot.
Okay.
But, you know, some of them might be, like, all over the island, so, you know, you might be able to see a Tasmanian devil, like, anywhere on the island.
Right.
But there's also different wildlife sanctuaries, so I want to talk about a popular one called the Bonorong Wildlife Sanctuary.
Bonorong.
So this is one where you can see a lot of animals that have actually gone extinct in other parts of Australia. So like the Tasmanian devil, which used to be actually not just in Tasmania.
Okay.
But it now, like, it went extinct.
And nobody knows why they're only there now.
I'm sure there's theories. I didn't really look up a lot of the theories, but something actually that I've read about Australia before is that when humans first arrived, not European settlers, but like the first humans that that went to Australia, when humans first arrived, it coincides with
Pangaea?
No, with a mass extinction of certain species. Like they found fossils, like dated fossils of certain species that they found in Australia.
Right.
And they date back to around the same time that they've estimated that humans first arrived on in Australia.
Oh, interesting.
So it's there's a theory that the, like, humans came to Australia, and especially large animals. Like there used to be like very big animals in Australia.
Right.
And those stopped existing shortly after humans were introduced to the land. So I don't know if that has anything to do with Tasmanian devils not being in Australia anymore.
Right.
That's like a really good question. Like why did they go extinct? And maybe it's about development. Maybe they lived in the areas of Australia where human habitation was also, like, you know, is better, like better for human habitation too. So maybe, but it's like, I don't know. It's hard to say because it's not like Australia is a very populated country. I
mean, the outback is massive. So.
The outback is massive. And even in the populated areas, it's still a large distance between cities.
Right.
You know, like bigger, more than you can think, like even on, you know, like more than the West Coast. Like if the West Coast of the US were in Australia, then that would be like a densely populated part of Australia.
Right.
But for American context, it's like the West Coast doesn't seem like too crazy populated.
Right, right.
Compared to the East Coast. And so I think, I don't really know why the Tasmanian devil went extinct. And it went extinct 3,500 years ago, not recently.
Right.
And so it went extinct even before like European settlers came.
Right.
So, I don't know why it would have gone extinct specifically on the mainland of Australia, but not in Tasmania. It could be the climate. Yeah. Maybe it's some kind of climate change that happened during that time, where it just made more sense for Tasmania to be the place for the devils to live. Anyway, I want to talk about Bonorong Wildlife Sanctuary.
Okay. Thank you. I feel smarter now.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I always happy to share the little knowledge I have of things. So you have to buy a ticket to enter the park.
Right.
Tickets are going to be $34.50 Australian dollars. And there's a lot of different experiences. So you can choose like another like an experience I think that you can pay for, but with your ticket is included you get a full tour that's included in your ticket, and it includes visits to the tour guide will give you a visit to three of their favorite species. So they'll choose which ones to go to, and this is kind of like maybe you're like, oh, but I want to see this one or that one, but it depends on the season, the time of year, and the weather. Because sometimes if the weather is not so great for certain animals, they won't come out.
Right.
So they'll know which places are the best to go to visit, you know, to be able to see certain animals.
Right.
So yeah. So you'll be able to see different animals, but it's sort of like you go and they're like, oh, okay, well, we can see this one or that one. Because sometimes an animal may be asleep, or it might stay in, and so then they'll substitute it with another animal. So then other than like the full tour, you can also pay to get a short animal encounter where basically you have 10 minutes to interact with an animal such as a wombat or a ringtail possum.
Right.
And I'm sure they'll like tell you the rules of like what you can and can't do and all of that. I don't think it's a petting zoo. It's a wildlife sanctuary. So it's not like, you know, you're going to be able to hold it or anything like that.
No, it's mostly just to observe them in their own natural habitat.
Observe, sure. But yeah. Basically, they allow you to get kind of up close and personal with these animals for 10 minutes.
Okay.
So yeah, you can pay for that.
Are there any species that are declining right now in Tasmania that they're trying to do any conservation efforts for?
Well, I think a lot of these animals that you see in the wildlife sanctuary are like they're there because they are trying to give them a healthy place to thrive.
Help the population,
and especially because it was, you know, like I said, it's a lot of these animals went extinct in other parts of Australia. So as far as like the you can like get up close with a wombat, ringtail possum, the tawny frogmouth.
Mm.
And you're like, what is a tawny frogmouth? And I'm like, that is a great question. Let's see what a tawny frogmouth is.
Okay. Well, I also was going to ask you, who's the noisiest creature in Tasmania? Which one do you think sounds the loudest? You know, like if you're in like the American Southwest, you'd probably say it's the coyotes, maybe stray wolf, or a vulture. Perhaps, or something.
Always with the hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, but something's got to be like, you hear it again? It's that.
That's a great question.
It's that specific Tasmanian creature that you hear all the time at nighttime.
It would probably be like a bird or something, but I don't know. I'm sure there's some land animals that are like making noises and stuff. That's a really good question. And I don't know. I figure maybe you'll have to go to Tasmania to find the answer. And then we'll do this episode part two. Tyson goes to Tasmania and finds which animal is the loudest.
You know, what did I ever tell you about the experience of self-discovery? How I found myself? Through the caw of the wallaby late at night?
I don't think you're telling the truth. I don't think you've been to Australia.
I was confused and like I was having a midlife crisis. I didn't know where I was going, where my life was going, where all my stock investments in the wrong places. Uh-huh. You know, should I buy this house? You know, all this stuff. And then you just hear this wallaby late at night. I mean, I don't really know what the wallaby sounds like. That's why I was asking you. Mm. But, you know, but it was just like, it was a sign.
Mm-hmm.
The sign, the animal, was a confirmation of when to, like, you know, make the right choice for my own life.
Yeah, to tell you not to invest in stocks, but to invest in socks.
Yeah, yeah.
With our remaining couple minutes, we have like 3 minutes left. I'm going to talk about Mount Field National Park.
Okay.
So Mount Field National Park. The wildlife sanctuary Bonerong is like sort of in the southeastern part of the island. Mount Field National Park is an hour 20-minute drive or hour 30-minute drive west of Bonerong, so it's quite close in the context of the entire island. And there you can see a range of mammals like bandicoots, eastern barred bandicoots, specifically eastern quolls, like I talked about, the cat, and the Tasmanian patamelons.
Can I get your autograph?
Why?
You perform in my favorite bandicoot.
Just full of jokes today.
I just love these names.
You can also find platypuses.
I know what a platypus looks like.
Yeah.
They're a little noisy in the water, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So Mount Field National Park is one of Tasmania's oldest national parks and one of its most diverse. You can see like glaciated landscapes. So you can see like some glaciers up high, lots of cascading waterfalls, including the three-tiered Russell Falls, which is arguably one of the most impressive waterfalls in Tasmania.
Can you swim there?
Or
is it too cold?
Maybe. It might be cold, especially if it's coming from a glacier. So
probably not.
Maybe got to wait for the summertime when it's really hot, when it's like 35 degrees Celsius.
And,
And then I talked about like how to get like that you need to buy a parks pass and stuff. But yeah, I'm running out of time, so I think we have to wrap it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty soon we'll have to scoot just like one does through the rural landscape of Tasmania.
Scoot like a bandicoot.
Scoot like a bandicoot.
Yep, that's how it goes.
And no, there's no animals that are big enough for you to ride, so you need to rent a motorbike and go from park to park.
Mm-hmm.
Peak to peak.
Peak to peak.
Fall to fall.
Pack to pack.
Penguin to penguin.
Penguin to penguin. All right, well, this has been lovely. Thank you for listening to Life Stamp Stories from Here and There. I'm Joseph.
I'm Tyson.
And we'll catch you next time in 2 weeks when we explore Oaxaca.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Bye.
You have been listening to Life Stamps, stories from here and there on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. Join us in 2 weeks for our next episode. Until next time,
happy traveling!
To KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
This is Bird Note. Just what puts the hum in a hummingbird's wings? And why don't other birds' wings hum in flight? To figure it out, scientists used a specially built rig to measure air pressure, 12 high-speed cameras, and over 2,000 microphones to observe hummingbirds fluttering in place at an artificial flower. This allowed them to make 3D visualizations of the sound of a hummingbird's wing beats. When hummingbirds flap, they create lift both on the downstroke and the upstroke, so twice per wing beat. The researchers found that the hum derives from the difference in air pressure between the top and the bottom of the wings, which alternates 40 times a second as the hummingbird flaps. The rapidly shifting air pressure produces a harmonic set of sounds from low to high, creating that iconic musical hum. Other birds flap with power on the downstroke only, so there's no rapidly changing pressure difference when they fly, making them much quieter. Their wings might whoosh, but only a hummingbird's hum. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Remmel. Want more Bird Note sounds, images, and stories delivered straight to your inbox? Subscribe to our weekly newsletter for a preview of the week's shows, stories, and stunning photos every Friday morning. Visit birdnote.org to sign up today.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the